In attempting to try to understand just a little bit better what Jesus meant when he preached that famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And we have come to a certain break now, and we need to slow down just a little bit. And let me read to you from the 5th chapter of Matthew, verses 13 through 16. Hear the reading of God's word, and may the Holy Spirit convict us that and show us the Lord Jesus. And he said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Thus ends the reading of the word, and we now prepare ourselves to receive it with understanding and with firm determination that we will live by this word. So let's go to prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to write his word into our hearts. Father in heaven, we thank you that your Son came to the earth, that he humbled himself and became obedient to the incarnation and even to death itself. But before that, he revealed the truth that the Father had sent him to reveal. So help us to understand it and to apply it and to determine that we will live by it. And we pray this in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men. Here we have the most direct and the clearest word about the function of a Christian. This is one of the clearest warnings as well as instruction. So let's consider it and see what we can make of this word of the Lord. So many Christians seem to think, unless they are serving as an officer in the church, or at least a teacher in Sunday school, or filling some specific slot in the organizational machinery of the church, that they are not fulfilling their role as a Christian. I hope you will change your mind about that before this sermon is over. And when you hear the Lord speaking to you about the function of a Christian in this world, that you will apply that to your own heart and life. Well, first of all, we have to ask, to whom was Jesus speaking when he said, "You are the salt of the earth"? He was speaking to those who are at least attempting to live out the Beatitudes in their own lives. He was trying to get across the point that who you are is much more important than what you do, and you can't really separate them. So he was speaking to Christians simply who are trying to live the Christian life and have received it. Can you not see that we are living in a critical era of the church? We certainly are 2,000 and 19 years closer to the Lord's return. But do we live like that? Do we live as if we were expecting the Lord to come back in our lifetime, no matter who you are and what age you are? He was speaking to Christians. In the simplest sense of the word, Christians who are trying to imitate Jesus Christ and trying to put on Jesus Christ. Well, I think this is a critical era in the history of the world and of the church, because I think you can see, as I can, that believers are becoming less and less committed in the way that Jesus taught us to live. Have you not noticed, for instance, a big difference in the level of commitment between generations? Some of you can hark back to your great-grandparents and in this church, and they made very sure that every Lord's Day they were in God's house. And can't you see just a fading of that intensity of commitment? Maybe it's because people just have more wealth than they used to have, and so they can afford to go places and do things besides church on Sunday. And I think the second implication of the nature of the world is this: even Christians cannot forever prevent the inevitable, just as salt can only hinder for a while the processes of disintegration and spoilage. So certainly Christians can only hinder for so long the processes of dissolution of the church and the fading of the influence of the church. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when it will be said of us, every imagination of their hearts was only evil continually. Only grace keeps that from happening. Only grace gives stability, and only through believers who are living the life that Jesus taught us to live. Does this mean we should ever just give up and give in to the cultural decay and ruin and wait for the Lord to come back? Of course not. As Jesus said, occupy yourself until I come back. Does this mean we should never lift a finger against evil and that we should never accept the role that Jesus has given us? Well, yes, we should. But we do need to keep in mind that this world is under the sentence of righteous wrath by God. And only believers can prevent this from happening. And only believers have the assurance that they are living the life that Jesus taught us to live. Or at least we are held responsible for that. Using the figure of speech that Jesus used, that of salt, we may begin to understand and fulfill our calling to be the salt of the earth. The first thing to understand about salt is its essential saltiness, and it has a purpose. This was brought home to me many years ago when I was a student in seminary, but one of the students, and I won't tell you, it was Jimmy Moss that was my roommate, worked in the dining hall. And one morning, he just got tired of seeing the routine of students filing in and yawning and rubbing the sleep out of our eyes. And we all started with a cup of coffee. But Jimmy Moss had substituted sugar with salt. And you talk about eyes opening really quickly and chasing Jimmy around the table. That was what happened that day. So with salt, there is no mistaking its flavor. With a Christian, there is no mistaking who they are and what they are according to Jesus. And certainly the Christian responsibility is first of all to be distinctly Christian in our behavior and in our priorities as Christ defined it. The next, in many ways, the primary function of salt is not just to reveal itself as salt, but it is preservation against decay. And so this is why this word from Jesus is so important. You are the salt of the earth. And the implication of that is you are the one that keeps the world from getting as bad as it could possibly get. And I know that's a heavy responsibility, but that's what Jesus taught us when he said, you're the salt of the earth. And certainly in the ancient world, and until fairly recently, that was the only way to preserve meat and other things as well. And if you didn't have salt, you couldn't have civilization. Certainly, civilization would have been impossible without salt. And Christian civilization is impossible without Christians living the life that Jesus taught us to live. If this is true, and if the Christian fulfills that responsibility, how do we exercise our function in the world? I was rereading the other day that haunting book called Through the Valley of the Kwai, written by Ernest Gordon, who was the chaplain, who was until his death the chaplain of Princeton University. But he wasn't always that. He was in the British Army that surrendered in the Malay Peninsula back during World War II. And he and several thousand, tens of thousands of British soldiers had to surrender because their general didn't believe that they would fight. So he surrendered them to the Japanese. But the Japanese were notorious for treating enemy soldiers with utter contempt and with brutality. To begin with, there were only a handful of soldiers who were Christians and were living out the Christian life. One man in particular ended up being crucified by the Japanese in order to try to lessen his influence over the men under him. But as a result, these few Christians just live by what they knew Christ required them to live. And they were not revengeful. They were helpful for the other soldiers. Even the Japanese soldiers that came through their camp badly injured or malnutrition victims, these men simply took care of them. They took care of their own men, and a great spiritual awakening broke out in that camp. Hundreds and hundreds of people turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and started Bible studies together so they could understand what it is that Christ expects of us. And these men didn't do anything particularly spectacular. They simply lived out their faith in their daily lives by the way they treated the enemy and the way they treated their own men. Now, it's precisely at this point we could make a very serious mistake. We are prone to think in order to be the salt of the earth, we have to organize, protest, promote, protest again, march, lobby, and legislate to be effective as Christians. In fact, this is what the church has done in our time. There has been a big movement in the church to get away from the gospel and to move toward simply being socially minded and kind to people. We're prone to think that we have to get together to do this. Well, we get together once a week, or the few elect get together twice a week, and some sing in the choir, and some teach Sunday school. But really, it boils down to this. Are you, as an individual and as a member of this church, agree to live by what Jesus taught us? In fact, we have to ask, with all of the effort on the part of protesting, carrying plaques, and running or riding a bicycle, have we ended poverty by marching, protesting? Have we eliminated racial prejudice in our community by carrying plaques and saying that we ought to do better? Have we ended divorce or broken homes or the drug problems or crime? No, all of these social ills have only increased in spite of the efforts that the church has put forward to protest, to march, and have bypassed the simple formula that Jesus preached and lived out. And that's what made his preaching so very powerful and life-changing, because they could see from the preacher, that is Jesus, that he set the example, and he lived by what he taught, and far beyond. But we really have to understand that in order to change the world around us, we must preach and live out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, finally, the use of salt is to give flavor to food and make it more pleasant and palatable. Life without Christ is meaningless, unpleasant, and tasteless. This present generation seems to be half bored to death. You have these millions of people that gather every Lord's Day, but not to worship God and not to learn how to live. They are in stadiums across this country. Certainly, when I was a pastor in another place, one of the elders brought a motion to session that we change the time of worship from 10:30 on Sunday morning to 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Well, Ed, why do you want to change? Well, most everybody in this church has a season ticket to see the Dolphins play, and so I think we ought to accommodate them by changing the time of worship. Well, the motion went down to fiery defeat when the elders heard this motion from an elder. They said, no, we must put God first in our lives. And so they refused to give up. In the early years of my own ministry, before I even graduated from seminary, I was involved with a couple in their middle years. And I was not in my middle years. I was in my middle 20s at the time. But they came to me and asked me if I would help them. And they were fairly, unlike everybody else in our community, they were educated, and they were modestly wealthy, But they were also miserable, and especially the wife. She had a serious drinking problem, and her husband came to me and begged me, we need help, and you're a preacher, aren't you? And I said, well, I will be one day. But he said, aren't you a Christian? And I said, yes, of course I'm a Christian. And he said, would you help my wife? And I met with her time after time. I had no experience with counseling, and even less with drugs and drinking problems. But I spent several weeks just trying to establish a common ground. And I tried to convince her that the answer for her was a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. But I tried to point out to her that you begin by seeking the Lord and coming to church and hearing the message of the gospel. And I tried to convince her in person, time and time again. And her only response, I can still remember, with tears running down her face, she said, I am completely empty. Empty of faith and empty of real any hope for the future. So in the end, she tried to find the answer by increasing the amount of alcohol she consumed. And of course, there's no answer in that. What she was saying was that her life had no taste, no satisfaction. And later I heard that she had died when I moved out of that community. Her husband sent me word that she had died, and she had died still empty because she had tried to fill it with the wrong things. But there is more than advice and counsel from the Lord. You are the salt of the earth. When he said that, he did speak it with the full intent of his disciples listening. But then he added, if the salt loses its saltiness, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. What use would unsalty salt be? It would not add to the pleasure of eating, nor would it have any ability for the preservation of the food. The professing Christian who allows his essential nature as a Christian to be rendered ineffective, according to Jesus, that's the most useless person on the face of the earth. A Christian uncommitted to discovering and practicing life as Christ taught it. If we compromise our distinctive Christian character, what have we gained? Oh, the tolerance of the world? No, the world will not tolerate anybody who even makes a pretense. We have gained nothing but the contempt of people and certainly the wrath of God. So when you hear, you are the salt of the earth, turn your eyes inward. Look at your life. Is there anything distinctively Christian about you other than coming to church? Is it obvious that you're a follower of Jesus Christ and that the most important thing in your world or in your life is to follow Jesus Christ as he taught us how to live? We may be good in our own sight, but Christ's estimation, it is henceforth good for nothing but to be discarded. It doesn't have to be that way. Right now, in the presence of God and this congregation, you could sincerely dedicate yourself to finding out what Jesus meant and what he taught, and they're determining by God's grace that you will live it out. And maybe that's a different way of life. Maybe you've thought about, well, church is kind of pleasant or unpleasant addition to life, but at the core of your life must be your relationship with Jesus Christ, or you fall under his condemnation when he said, if the salt loses its saltiness, it is henceforth good for nothing. I remember a officer nominating committee in a church that I served at one time, and somebody spoke up, and as we were going through the different names, I was not involved in the discussion, but this lady in our church sincerely spoke about a certain man, and she said, he's a good man. We ought to nominate him. And then one of the more practical-minded deacons on the committee spoke up and said, what's he good for? And she couldn't come up with an answer. She didn't know what he was good for, but she just, in her mind, had the impression that he was a good man, and he was, and he did get elected, but that deacon asked an embarrassing question. And he added, what are we all good for? And no one could really come up with an answer. But it doesn't have to be that way. When you come to church this morning, seeking the Lord's will for your life, you could make a wholehearted surrender to the control of the Lord Jesus Christ over your life. And you would find out that you're not the only one, and that it could become very contagious. When a Christian starts living out the Christian life, you don't have to be an officer. You don't have to sing in the choir. It's fine if you are. But what really counts is understanding what Jesus taught and committing yourself to do that. Won't you do that today? As a matter of fact, I would suggest that we turn to the hymn number 402, May the Mind of Christ My Savior Live in Me from Day to Day. And that way you'll finish up the sermon, and it will be yours, and you can sing with heart and mind. Hymn number 402, standing as we sing.